This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. I'm Ben Platt. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Apologies for last week. We didn't put a pod out. We had work commitments and other stuff going on, and we, you know, a couple of poor results as well. Doesn't help, does it, Dunk, in getting engagement to jump on the pod, mate?
No, mate.
Apologies, but we're back this week. I'm going to chat through everything. Oh, it's just so annoying that, like, we have to go back a little bit. It feels like we're going back to being overly negative or annoyed or frustrated or digging out some players and stuff. I thought we were over that, especially after Swansea. I thought me and Doug, we thought we were celebrating in the living room, watching it, giving each other high fives, you know, thinking about next season. And now we're sat here and I'm very, very worried. I don't know how worried anybody else is, but I am worried. I think Saturday is a game that I don't buy the whole they're going to be on the beach. I just think it's a recipe for a disaster, especially for QPR. I don't know why. Everything screams that it will. Our home form is really poor, and I think we're so predictable and too predictable. First on the pod this week, we've obviously got Duncan. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Not too bad. QPR results aside.
Yeah. We've also got Jack. Jack, two pods in a row. I haven't done that for a while, mate.
Yes, mate. Yeah, it's a bit like a Lyndon Dykes scoring streak, isn't it? So, going to go missing about 12 weeks after this. But, yeah, no, getting nervous. I'm not going to lie. But, yeah, let's see how we go this week. Big game.
Massive. You got some stats for us this week, mate, I'm sure.
Yeah, not many positive ones, though, you know. Tried my best, but such is our form.
I've got a couple I want to ask you, but I'll ask you as it goes, see if you can find it. We've also got a podcast debut for Connor, who manages the Hoopsar on YouTube channel. I think a lot of people on Twitter would have seen it. I've watched a few of them, and they're really good. So if anyone hasn't subscribed, we'll retweet the channel later at some point in the next week or so. So get on and subscribe. And Connor, welcome, mate.
Thanks very much, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Good. We don't give anything out or anything like that, or like, you know. But we should, shouldn't we? Should give some sort of like sticker or mug out for everybody that's been on the pod. Don't know. But anyway, mate. Thank you. Welcome. We'll start with you, mate. We'll reflect. Connor, I'll come to you first, mate, as you're the newbie. I'll try and sort of sum up a bit of a reflection on Sheffield Wednesday, Plymouth, what happened, what your observations were, and any positives that we can take.
Yeah, sure. Well, Sheffield Wednesday, I think, was a bit of a crash down to earth, wasn't it, after the double over Easter weekend. And, you know, life had been feeling pretty good as a QPR fan again, and it felt inevitable that kind of result would come our way. And I don't know, to be honest, Sheffield Wednesday is one of the few games where I felt like Marty got sort of outmanaged a little bit. I think Sheffield Wednesday were definitely a poor side. It was two poor sides, but I think he got the decisions right. I think, you know, they really stopped us playing down the channels, pushing their centre-backs high up on the wings. And yeah, I think they really did their homework on us, and it worked a treat, unfortunately. And then, yeah, Plymouth, you know, I was really hoping for that response. And I think, again, it was another pretty stodgy performance, but we nearly got away with it until, you know, Begovic made that absolute howler. And, you know, I've said a lot about Begovic on my own channel throughout the season, but, you know, he's up probably on the highest wages. He's your captain. He's supposed to bring a bit of calmness to the side. And then, yeah, he just pulls out. And, you know, get 2 points from that game, and I think we'd all be feeling a lot more comfortable right now than we are. So,
yeah. Yeah, I agree with Sheffield Wednesday. I thought that, Marty, there were a few odd decisions that were being made. And you're right. I think that Raul did a number on him. I thought exactly the same with you with the fullbacks. They were really high, weren't they? And yeah, they had two centre-backs that were just as, probably not as quick, but fairly deep quick. And Sinclair was getting frustrated, wasn't he? Really quickly, really early, very frequently. To the point where I thought you could just tell the centre-backs kind of had him a little bit. And it took... For me, when I was watching it, the decision, some of the subs needed to have been done a bit earlier. Dunk, I don't know if you've got anything to add. What were your views? I know Plymouth was a frustration with Begovic, and we'd have been safe.
Well, like we said, like we thought after the Easter weekend, we thought pick up 3 points possibly at home to Sheffield Wednesday, and that would be us well and truly home and dry. The Sheffield Wednesday result was just, it was sluggish, it was turgid, like it was just everything about it just felt weird from the like getting in the ground before kickoff. It just, there was a weird atmosphere. Like there wasn't a buzz. We just won two games. It was like, it felt like there was a weird tension. Felt like the players kind of weren't maybe at 100%. It was like, we've got those two massive wins. Are we safe in our heads? And we've not taken this like massive battle against Sheffield Wednesday seriously. They were much more up for it than we were. They were first to every ball. Barry Bannon has always dominated the midfield. It's so frustrating, does it against us every single time. It was just one of those games you knew what was going to happen. They'd score and we wouldn't be able to score. We just can't score at the minute. Plymouth, it was almost not quite the opposite, but like we had chances, we missed chances. Smith missed that chance. He's just like, he's what, 5-6 yards out? He hits it straight at the keeper. He's got the whole goal to aim for. And you just think it's those missed, like, errors in judgment and like lack of composure that have cost us all season. And then Begovic flapping for a corner when we've said that's his strong, that's what he's good at. We've said how many times in the box he's commanding, he claims crosses, he's flapped. And it was just, again, just everything that seems to be going wrong goes wrong right at the worst times, and to the teams in and around us. Like, yeah, I've just, everything's just gone flat, and I think that's the problem. Like, the players have gone flat. Marty's gone a little bit flat with it recently, the last couple of games. Like, obviously, we haven't really touched on Hull yet, but that was just outplayed completely. But yeah.
Jack, our home form, I said it months ago. So you remember, I said that our home form will be our downfall this season. I said, we'll pick up enough points away from home, we'll grind out enough. We've just got to win some home games. And I just really worry about us at home. I think we're too predictable. I said it at the start. I just think with Anderson, Chair and Willock there and Frey or Dykes and Sinclair, I just think it's too predictable. I think it's easily played against. I watched Middlesbrough, Sheffield Wednesday. They played three at the back, pushed their, like we said, pushed fullbacks up. And we don't create enough that we can afford to miss chances. That's the other thing that annoys me. We don't create enough. So that Smith chart, there's a couple of Smith chances we've reflected on that are big misses, but we just don't create enough. And I don't know if that's a fact. And the other thing, and it's up for debate, and you might not agree. I'm not a massive fan of Anderson. I don't, and it might be the players around him, I don't know. But especially this last few weeks, he's just not been great and poor and sluggish and you're looking for someone like him with his ability to be able to influence the game more and be able to get on the ball and create and do more. You need him to do more, right? But he's actually doing less. And I don't know whether he's better suited on the wing and out the... I don't know, Jack. I've said a lot there. But
yeah, I mean, the home for you've been, you know, going on about that one, and rightly so, for months, or if not all season. And, you know, the fact that relegated Rotherham, the only team with fewer home points than QPR in the Championship this season, is, you know, dreadful, to be honest. And these, you're talking about these home wins, they're coming at such a premium. They're so few and far between. I know they've all come under Marty, but they're just, it's just not enough. We've had 5 home league wins this season, which is our joint lowest ever total in a non-top flight season, alongside 1925 and 1926. Yes, we've got a couple of home games to go. Maybe we can eke a couple of wins or one win and, you know, not have the a joint club worst record outside the top flight for home wins. But it's one of those where it's just, considering how great the support has been this year in terms of attendances, and the crowd haven't turned on the players, have been behind and they've been backing them every week. They just deserve more. Fans deserve a lot more this year. I mean, you're looking at the goal scoring issue in particular, you know, Loftus Road, you know, in the Warburton era, goals were flowing at home by and large throughout his tenure. I know he had a nice selection of players over the years, but we haven't scored more than 2 goals. You know, we don't score more than 2 goals in a home game very often. I think we've done it once in our last 37 home league games. That was Stoke when we won 4-2 in November. So if a team scores once, and worst case scenario twice, the best we can hope for is a draw, you know, in our current goal scoring exploits. And Sheffield Wednesday, you know, when Pervedo got subbed off in the first half, I thought, okay, he's their best player, in my opinion. Him going off, right, that's a result. It's just typical QPR that the guy that comes on gets a goal and an assist. You know, Gassama, you can't, you know, legislating for that maybe wasn't in the game plan as much. And I just think we're looking a bit loose at the back at home at times, conceding soft goals. I mean, 1 clean sheet in our last 11 at home in the league. You know, that's, you know, it's got to tighten up. You know, by and large, we've been pretty good at the back, but just silly mistakes, set piece goals as well. More goals conceded from set pieces, you know, 16 conceded from set pieces, the most in the league. We've talked about Begovic in previous podcasts. He's very hit and miss for me. I think the Plymouth game, I'll move on to Plymouth. I mean, that mistake was a shocker, and you want him, your captain, to be leading by example, and flapping in the 86th minute is just not what you want from, as Connor says, probably someone that's on one of the bigger wages at the club, a lot of top flight experience. We need him to do better in these last 3 games. More of the Swansea performance would be what we need from him. And I think, you know, looking at it, you know, Plymouth, Paul Smith, it's frustrating with Paul Smith. He's one of those players that there's a lot of good to his game, but he lacks composure. And ultimately, I think that's why he's not kicked on massively in the Football League. He's had good periods and bad periods, and injuries have kind of blighted him over the years. But he had 1 good season for Leighton Orient, playing on the left, cutting in on the right. And it's, you know, your angles for your finishing is quite different for him being wide right, having to come back across goal and his right. To me, I just wonder if it's a little thing that can be coached. He doesn't look comfortable shooting back across goal. He's tried to go near post a few times and just not got it right. I just wonder if he can just, you know, improve his finishing, because he's getting into positions. He looked one of our last few games, you know, he's been a good outlet, you know, by and large all season as well. And I just think if he can just improve in a few areas, he'll be a really good asset. But you've got to feel that Marty's going to be frustrated with him. You know, he doesn't suffer fools. You know, once you're out, you know, in the wilderness with Marty, I think that's it. I don't know where Kakai's gone, for example. So, you know, Paul Smith, he's looking bright and he looks a good option, but you just can't rely on him at the moment, which is, you know, a shame. But your Anderson point, I'll get there eventually. I do think that he's a player that needs good options around him as well. Needs people on his wavelength. I feel like he's been very wasteful with some of his finishing, you know, especially like Loftus Road in recent times. So, I mean, Sunderland away as well. He had a good chance, didn't he? Is he on the way to being QPR'd? Comes in, great impact, not scarred by the previous months, and now he's sort of regressing to the mean, you know, as Nori has put in previous, you know, statements. The median line, whatever that is for QPR. But anyway, yeah, that's my two. And Hull completely outclassed. They were just light years ahead of us. Big pitch. We were pretty tired, leggy. And some of their forward players were just so dynamic and so dangerous. Their movement was really top class. But yeah, that was just we were lucky to get away with 3-0 there.
Oh, God. Do you know, it's frustrating, isn't it? Because that wonder goal in the first however many minutes it's kind of killed the game for us. It felt like straight away, it kind of given everyone a massive lift at Hull. And then we just couldn't deal with them. They had runners everywhere. I don't know what was going on. You know, Fox was getting over. They were just runners. Because they've got that quite dynamic strike force, haven't they, where everyone's just everywhere. I remember Blackburn did it to us. Do you remember at home when we lost 4-0 at Ainsworth? We didn't have a clue then what to do. Connor Hull, what, any views, mate? What do you think on Anderson? Am I being harsh?
Well, Anderson, I think, is an interesting one. I think, not to judge him too early, but we're slightly seeing why his career stalled a little bit. I think, you know, earlier in his career, he was being touted as a next Christian Eriksen. I think the sort of lack of pace is definitely impacting his game. And I think he struggles in that sort of more advanced position. Interestingly, one thing I thought, you know, from Sheffield Wednesday, you know, it was a bizarre match in general and our setup was strange. But the late substitution when he dropped deeper and Chris pushed into the middle and then Anderson was much more in that kind of Barry Bannon position, I thought he looked the most comfortable when he started spraying a few passes about. And I wonder if that sort of deeper position for him would be more suited. And particularly, you know, with Chris Willett's cameo against Plymouth, when he came in as the number 10, we started creating loads of chances and finally him and Elias are linking up. And, you know, I think there might need to be a bit of a shuffle in that midfield pack. It's just a shame that we might have found Willock's a suitable number 10 three games before his contract expires. But yeah, on to Hull City. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're totally outclassed. You can see the investment into their squad and the sort of calibre of player they have available. The only thing I would say against that is when you give their players that much space on the edge of the box, they're going to put a shot in. And I think that's where there's a slight flaw in the four centre-backs logic as your full-backs, because they're not shutting those wingers down tight enough. I mean, Jimmy Dunn, for as good as he's been, you saw in the West Brom game what happens when he didn't shut his wingers down. And again, that was another wonder goal we conceded. I think, you know, for as strong as they made us in certain elements, I think we're really struggling to get touch tight to those kind of attackers. And yeah, like you said, it completely killed the game against Hull.
Dunk, any positivity, mate? Anything? Carl, I feel like it's going to be some in.
What, from the whole
not to hold, just well, no, just in general. Is there something that?
No, at the minute, I don't
it's
see
in
it.
Our
I don't...
In our hands, still.
It's in our hat. Like, we're not in the bottom three. That's a positive. We're still 3 points clear. That's a positive. But like, I've written down in my notes that I can't see us winning our next three games. I think Preston are going to bounce back after their game the other night. And I think Leeds are going to absolutely spank us. And I worry that on the Coventry game last game of the season, we're going to be fighting for something. We all need to fight for something, and they'll be fighting for the playoffs. And I think their fight will be bigger and stronger than ours, because I don't think our players are as committed as some other teams' players are. And I think that's the problem. Especially when you look at our attacking players, I don't think that, as much as we all know they've got talent, like Chris Willock's put a few little cameos in, but he's putting himself in the shot window. Like, Chair's been anonymous recently, Anderson's been anonymous recently. If, like, it's telling that in what, last six games, no one from our attacking options has scored a goal. Like,
notice Willock on Saturday? I noticed it and putting it in. Like, proper, yeah. I don't know. Do you remember there was a link to Hull, weren't there, and Jan? I just wonder whether there's something in that. He was definitely 100% doing more on the ball than I've seen him do. He couldn't do it, and that was because, not just because of him, it was just that we were just crap and he was trying to do something, right? Literally trying to go forward, like trying to take on three players. He wasn't always doing it, but he was getting past one or two. And then losing it. And don't normally see that from him. Well, not recently anyway. I don't know if anyone else noticed that. Sorry, Doug.
No, so that's something I noticed it, but it was pointless. Like, he wasn't, he didn't achieve anything from it. No one else was up with him. No one else was trying to, like, do anything else to be alongside him. With Dykes plays, we've got, might as well be playing with 10 players. Like, Sinks, I just don't get the hype on him anymore. Apart from having a bit of pace and being raw, we can't keep saying he's raw. He's nearly had a full season at this level. Like, that's no longer raw. Like, they're just not, they're, those two aren't doing anything. Frey, like, I don't know where he's been the last couple of weeks, but he's not done enough for us since he's come in. Like, we knew back in the summer when we only started the season with Dykes and Sinks, and we didn't have enough strikers, we didn't have enough firepower. Getting in Frey hasn't helped us in January, really. Like, it is just worrying that we're, like, our creative players, our main outlet for goals, aren't getting the goals.
Is it, Connor, is it that our strikers aren't good enough, or is it that our creative players aren't creating enough? I saw a good tweet the other day that made me think a little bit about the fact that Cher and Willock and Smith and Anderson, they've not been at their best, have they, the last 4 or 5 weeks? Far from it.
No, not at all.
Is that because of them, or is that because the strikers in front of them are not doing what we need them to do, if that makes sense?
I think it's both. I know that's a bit of a cop-out as an answer, but I think it genuinely is both. I think, you know, we're starting to see this squad regress back to the level of their talent. You know, Marty's had them punching above that for the past few months. And, you know, that lack of consistent ability is starting to shine through again. I think with the strikers, I don't think chopping and changing striker every game helps. No one gets a run in the team. Ironically, Sheffield Wednesday, I thought the starting lineup, when I saw it, was probably the best team that we could put out. And I was really pleased to see Armstrong in the lineup. And I thought, go on, you know, go and take your chance, make it your own. And, you know, he dropped a really poor performance and we've not seen him really since. And but it doesn't help for your confidence if you're then thrown out in the next game. Frey, you know, this is clearly a player that is not match fit. He's not played since something like May 2023 until he came to us. So I think it's not going to be until after the summer we're actually going to see if there is anything there. I did think in his first couple of games, he had some good ability in the box. I thought he looked very natural in his positioning in a way that Sinclair and Dykes don't. So I don't think he's one we can totally cast aside yet. Dykes, I can't believe he's still a player at the club, unfortunately. Wow. I mean, the fact that we offered this bloke a new contract is a joke, to be quite honest. What is this, fourth or fifth season that he's played for us now? And, you know, there's so many people that defend him online and say, you know, we don't give him the service. He doesn't make runs. He doesn't get in behind. His hold-up play is average. I'm not totally blaming it all on him, but you know what you're going to get when he's in the team. And, you know, that is the first person that needs to be moved on in the summer, in my opinion.
Yeah, just on that, he had to laugh. I think it was Ben Fraser on Twitter last week. But since the start of last season, QPR's number nine, Lyndon Dykes, has scored as many goals away from Loftus Road for QPR as Senny Dieng, one goal. Dieng is not only a goalkeeper, but he also left QPR last summer. If that doesn't sort of sum up, like, Lyndon Dykes is, you know, record away from home, one goal in his last three away. That's just abysmal, isn't it? And if he's the away guy, the away striker, go-to guy, I mean, Jesus, we've got, you know, no chance.
The strange thing I've noticed on Dykes as well is there was a portion of games where he wasn't playing as the number nine. He was coming in as that, you know, sort of deeper midfielder. And we actually had a little bit of joy with him playing there, and I didn't mind him too much in that position. And he's not done that for a while now. So I know you obviously need a number nine, but we were getting something out of him in that position.
In my opinion, I brought this up a few weeks ago, and I said that doing that to him has made him even worse, I think. has made him, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, it's confused him.
No, maybe not confused him, but, like, I don't know, like, any instinct that he had is kind of gone. And I always think with Dykes, you're going to get anything out of him, because he is completely ineffective at the moment, right? He's making runs away from the ball, you know, and when Cher and Smith are on the wing, Willock, they're putting it in. He does everything possible to not be in the right position or in the best position possible, right? He makes a late run, like, real late, and it's just pointless because the defender's there. He's never going to win it. or he runs to the back post, right, where there's like three or four other, you know, of our players there. But if you're going to get the best out of him, you play him with someone else up there. You play him as a, you know, with, as a two. That's the best we've ever seen him with Austin up there, right? And you're not telling me that Austin made him. I just think he is a bit better when he's got someone next to him. And also, like you said, there's probably half a job for him in that number 10 role as a sub, maybe, if we need him to come on and run about a bit in that number 10 role, maybe. But I don't know what we do with him, really, because...
The problem we have is, though, Austin's an experienced striker at this level when he came in. Like, that's why he made him look better. Sinks isn't an experienced striker. Sinks needs the experienced striker. Dykes can't be that. Like, yeah. Frey, whether... I think Frey and Dykes together, like, Frey's even slower than a fit Charlie Austin. Like, and we all know Charlie Austin couldn't sprint, really. So, like, him and
Bob
Dykes...
Malcolm, Bob Malcolm levels are slow, Frey.
Yeah. I mean, like, with M2, like, if Paul Smith makes a run down the wing, like, you've got no one to cross it to because Frey and Dykes will not be up with him. And that's half the problem as well. And then by the time he's held the ball up, the defence has got back.
That happened at Sheffield Wednesday about three or four times in the first half. Sinks got through and he was out wide, and it took like what felt like 10 minutes watching it, that no one was anywhere near him by that time. And he just, the fact that's his biggest issue, Sinks, is that when he's got time and he needs to, he often makes the wrong decision. I know we've seen glimpses of him sometimes doing the right thing, but more often than not, he'll do something a bit wrong or he'll pass it, you know. So, yeah.
We don't feel, it doesn't feel like we play as a counter-attacking team when we have Sinks. It feels like, how many times you see Chair pick the ball?
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And it goes back to Cook or Clark Salt, where it goes across the back line, goes right, goes out to Jimmy Dunn. And by then, whoever we're playing is already back in shape. There's never anything kind of quick turn. Like Chair, how often does Chair now turn his man and drive and get us on a counter-attack?
You're not thinking... Chair doesn't... A bit aimless against Sheffield Wednesday. It's a bit, it felt a bit Ainsworthy, like in terms of just literally punting it into the channel at all times. Sam Field, as soon as he got the ball, wouldn't take a touch. It was just like a channel ball. A
lot just wrap it round. The wrap around ball where it wrapped around and came and in.
Goes for a goal click. Armstrong gets muscled out. Armstrong pushes his man, you know, because he's too keen to get to the ball. It was just really frustrating to watch. It must be really frustrating for him as well, but There's so much naivety in that team at times. It's really hard to watch. And it just, was a really rough performance to watch. And I thought Sheffield Wednesday came with a lot more aggression, a lot more intensity. And it just, it paid off, didn't it? Because they caught us in a complacent mood. But I mean, I don't think we're starting games particularly well either. We have the odd little phase, but we haven't scored a first half goal in seven games. It was West Brom at home, Sam Field. We haven't scored a first half goal since then. And by and large, we're not conceding in the first half either. But it just, you want to, I don't know, in some of these games, these big six pointers, you want to see us sort of really take initiative, especially at home. You'd love to see it Preston come out the traps flying. But we just know under Marty, with this current squad, I'm putting it down to the personnel, it's more reserved, isn't it? It's more like structured, it's less risk. But, the goals is such a concern. I mean, it's one of our worst goals per game ratios in our history, you know, in a season at the moment. It's just our top scorer is on five goals. And in fairness, Dykes is one of them. Do we give him some credit there? I say utmost sarcasm. I mean, if that ended the season with five goals as our top scorer, we've never had a top scorer in a season with such a low total.
We've just got to get this win, haven't we? I think 3 points would probably be enough. We've just got to find it from somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know how. We've just got to grind it out. I'd like to see, like you said, I'd like to see us have a go at Preston and really from the start.
That takes the 50 points. I mean, the last team with 50 or more points to go down were Blackburn in 2016-17. 51.
Yeah, you need Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield then to get 7+ points from their last three games. And that's a big ask. I mean,
not funny,
and then not just that, not just that, Stoke have got to get 4 points. You know, Blackburn and Plymouth have still got to get a couple of points. So,
pretty sure Stoke play one of them. Don't know, they play
Stoke Plymouth, isn't it? Yeah. Which on share, Connor, he doesn't look the same chair. I don't, maybe he's got other stuff on his mind, but he certainly isn't the same chair that we've been watching.
No,
don't know. Really out of form.
Yeah, I mean, I think sadly over the past two seasons we've started to see him just regress from, you know, the talent that he was. I think up until those two seasons, I think he was on the up for two or three. And, you know, he was increasing his goals and assists sort of year after year. And he's just started to plateau a little bit. And I think, you know, it doesn't just go for Cher, but I think we're just getting to a point where this squad needs breaking up a little bit. And I think it's coming to Cher's time as well, to be honest, because they're a bit too used to playing with each other and reaching the same conclusions. I think he's lost that spark of creativity a little bit. When you mentioned about Dykes running away from the ball when they go to put the ball in, that's if they do put the ball in to him, you know, and that is getting rarer and rarer. Now, you can't totally blame him because they know that when they give him the ball, he's not going to do anything with it. But I think that's where you're seeing, you know, this group of players has been together for a little bit too long. It's time to freshen things up.
We need to move the three of Cher, Willick and Dykes. Whatever league we're in next season needs to end.
Yeah,
like if Chair's one of them stay, not Dykes, but if one of the other two stay, then
so
that's
as
fine,
long as
but...
Chair stays, because Willick's not going to stay, is he? Let's be honest.
Well,
if we go down, he definitely isn't staying.
Yeah, and I know this is a bit of a bold shout, given you know who goes in for it, but I do question sometimes why we're starting a player that's not agreed to stay on with us. You know, why are we putting him in the window for Hulsey? You know, we criticise Paul Smith and the lack of finishing, but you cannot say that he doesn't give 100% when he is on the pitch. And Willock, you know, we've seen little bits from him. He's definitely contributed in the running, but I don't know, it doesn't quite sit with me right that, you know, if he's not agreed to stay.
I think
I think possibly if we were in a better position, that might have been the case. But I don't know if we can afford not to play him.
We've got lack of options, haven't we? That's the other option.
Yeah.
The problem.
Where's Adoma come from? Why is he all of a sudden coming back
it's
in?
Because
the
he's leaving. It's because he's retiring at the end of the season. Marty's trying to give him his little farewell, isn't he? That's the
Marty's not like that.
If Polly was fit, I would have thought he would have featured a little bit more as one of the wide options potentially.
Mm.
I don't know what injury he had, but he's been out for a couple of months, isn't he, since he got that assist. He came off straight away, didn't he? But the lack of options. If Adoma's getting back in the squad and getting on, you know.
That's just bizarre, though. It really is. I mean,
I don't know where's he come from. Like, we all resigned to the fact that he was, that was it. Like, it's fine. We all knew it. It was fine.
Yeah. But you know, if you do want to give him a little send-off, you do it in the last game with 10 minutes, you know, to bring him on two successive games. And, you know, I can't blame him for the own goal, but it was just a totally wrong choice to make, particularly against Plymouth. You know, taking off Chair for him, we just stopped attacking after that.
Yeah, he's doing that often, isn't he, taking him off Chair? I mean, he is ineffective at times, but you never know. You can always get that run or that. Do you know what I mean? That shot that
he took him off in the games that I didn't think he should take him off, and vice versa. You know, obviously there was that big portion of time where he was fasting, and you could see that. You could see he was sort of struggling on the pitch a little bit, and you thought he might need to come off now. But the games where he was playing out of his skin, he was taken off.
Yeah.
But does that go down to the sports science bit again? Are they seeing he's run his socks off in this game? He's looking effective, but actually he's burning himself out. We need to take him off to rest him now.
Mm.
Because we have to praise Ben Williams, don't we, and how well we haven't had injuries. Jack said about Colley being out. That's it, really. Obviously, in Richards injured. But everyone else, we've managed to realistically keep a fit squad. But that just shows you how limited our squad is, that our options still aren't great off the bench, even though we've got 95% of players available.
We'd be bagging trouble if we didn't, wouldn't we? Imagine if we had a few more injuries floating around.
That's a positive then, Ben Williams. That worked.
That is a positive. Well done, mate. Well done, mate. Anything else to add, lads, on the games? Are we this relegation run in? Are we who's everyone worried as me? Or is anyone fully confident?
I'm curious to think, you know, what do you guys think about the fullback situation in these next three games? Are we going to stick with, you know, like the four centre back model? You know, or are we going to sort of try and bring back in a Cannon or a Powell just to sort of give Chair maybe a bit more support down the left or the right? I'm wondering if that's something that's under consideration because Fox has been okay, you know, nothing really that can fault him too much for, but he doesn't really offer much at the other end. Whereas Jimmy Dunn offers a lot from set pieces, wins a lot of headers from goal kicks and things like throws, etc. But yeah, maybe you would swap Fox for Powell, but I think Powell's been really poor for quite a long time, so I can see why he might stick with Fox. I just wonder if that limits our, again, what Dunk was saying, our chance creation and our supply line for the forwards, you know, having our natural up and down fullbacks getting there and getting crosses in.
I wonder whether we'll see three at the back. It's not Murray Marty, I know, but I wonder whether he will need to, there's a sort of a realisation that we need to do something different, and Fox on the left, Fox, you know, or Dunn in the three, and then you get Reggie Cannon in and Kenneth Powell. Smith. Maybe move Chair and Willick further in. I don't know. I'm just trying to think. I know it's not very Marty, but I don't know if maybe he'll reflect and go, I just need to get a result here. Is it to go against the grain? Maybe. I don't know. That's the thing I think that might happen. But yeah, I think Kenneth Powell will come in on Saturday anyway.
Well, you were saying about the predictability of our lineups at home, and I think something like that could really like catch a team off guard. Maybe, you know, I think it was at Sheffield Wednesday. Did we go three at the back, the wing back, Smith, the wing back, yeah. And as Connor said, as Willick sort of rotated around. I wonder if that is something that could sort of Cardiff away this season, where we did have Smith right wing back, and it caught them off guard. Maybe they're expecting, you know, 4-2-3-1, Frey up top, Anderson behind, you know, etc. But if we do that, maybe that would just sort of create a few chances that might not have happened before. We might get a goal off someone's arse.
Well, I know there's been discussion online about, you know, do we line up without striker because they don't score? You gain an extra player. and yeah, you know, the wing back thing is potentially one route. Again, another totally not Marty decision, but do you pack out that midfield? Do you have Hayden, Colback, and Field all in together? I actually sort of wish we'd done that over the last couple of games and just pack it out, make it as hard as possible to break down. And we have to grind out a couple of draws, then we do that. But, you know, I think you're right. I think we might see something a bit bolder for these last three games. I just hope that whatever he picks, he sticks to it for the three games unless we get totally turned over by Preston, because I don't think the chopping and changing three games in a row is going to help us.
No. No. Okay. We'll go on. I just want to quickly, a couple of QPR fans lost their life this last week. I know Tom the Steward, who's really popular in the ground and is a top lad. He unfortunately lost his life. And also Teddy Mead also. And there's going to be a round of applause for him on the 14th minute in the game on Saturday. So, yeah, condolences to families and stuff. But never nice to see fellow Ars losing their life. So just thought I'd mention that. So on to Preston, I know we've touched on it, and I know, was it a 5:15 game after Sky? We'll probably have a bit of a clearer picture of what's going on below us. Or I think I was looking at the fixtures, and some of them have got really, Huddersfield have got Swansea at home. You know, if you're looking for a home fixture, that's probably one of the easiest ones. And then Birmingham, looking for an easier way where they've got Rotherham. So the pressure ramps up, doesn't it, on Saturday, which doesn't help if the results go the way that they look like they might. Stoke and Plymouth are playing each other. Someone's going to win. That's another... What are we thinking, lads?
I think my inkling of positivity, which is completely unrelated to us, and it's more about those teams, is you've got to remember, those teams are like us, which means they're not just going to canter to easy wins against these teams. They are on paper easier fixtures, but what would we do in those situations after, you know, Plymouth beating Leicester, or, you know, Huddersfield getting a big result, or Sheffield Wednesday getting a big result? We'd probably go and lose it. So I'm not sure we're going to see, you know, results go totally against us this weekend. On the flip side,
you've said it now, mate.
On the flip side, one thing I don't like is the fact that we do know the results going into the game, because we know that this side doesn't cope with that pressure of knowing what kind of result you need.
I think Rotherham reappointed Steve Evans, haven't they? So that's obviously preparing. He's someone that's got a decent record in League One, and you know, maybe he could just inspire them to a little scrappy 1-0 home win. That'll go down a treat, I think. But I agree with Connor's point, actually. Knowing the results and coming into the game heaps the pressure on, doesn't it? Also, if they go all our way and it's like, oh, it's a big opportunity, we've got to capitalise, make it harder for us to get over, you know, get the win. But yeah, you know, you're talking about Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday, one of them having to get 7 points out of 9 sort of thing. I do kind of fancy one of them to do that.
I know, so do I. That's the problem.
Pretty streaky all season, thank you, Naki Wells. But like last week, I thought, oh my God, this is like the absolute disaster case. But they're not. Sheffield Wednesday didn't look a bad side when we played them. And I've seen a few of their games have been pretty competitive. I mean, just wondering if it is going to be like a Birmingham that slips in, you know, or, you know, a Plymouth or something like that, or a QPR, but hopefully not.
Doug, what are you thinking, mate?
I was just going to ask Jack if he's got any positive stats for when we play at 5:15 on a Saturday afternoon.
That's what I was going to ask. Damn, I forgot.
I mean, I've got that granularity to hand, but I could look it up here and get back to you.
I guarantee you it would be negative.
When was the last time did we? I can't even try to remember the last time we played at this time on a Saturday.
Well, I will say though, we have beaten Preston on Sky this season, haven't we?
I was going to say, yeah. When was that? Was that a Saturday? Yeah. No, that was
it was a midweek day, wasn't it?
Midweek.
Yeah. Dykes was lucky not to get sent off, wasn't he?
Friday night.
That's it. Yeah.
Because I'm just wondering, like, Preston lost the last two. The last couple of times this season, they lost three in a row. One was away in London at Chelsea. And the third one was us on Sky. We beat him in that match we just spoke about. So, I don't know, maybe there's a bit of symmetry there. Maybe we can do it again. But, you know, I think it's an odd kickoff time or kickoff. It's an odd choice tonight as well, put our game on. But this obsessed with QPR Preston recently.
Yeah, then we've got Leeds, haven't we?
That one's, yeah, that's going to be as donkey.
Have they got the bottom tier?
No, they've only got the top tier. I don't think
they had to. Can't buy the bottom tier, so is that just going to be unoccupied, the bottom tier?
I think so. I definitely saw something that said they're only having the top tier.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But you can't buy any now. I just wondered, because it's going to be they're trying their best to not get Leeds anywhere, aren't they? You've got to get a ticket within.
Did anyone have Leeds friends that asked them for tickets?
Absolutely. I got two. And I was like, there's absolutely no way I'm getting you a ticket in that. No. Yeah. No one else. We'll probably go and get a result against Leeds. We'll probably get thrashed by Preston and then go and, you know, if anything, the positive from Saturday is if anything, that it was that poor that it can only get better. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's really ignited something. Maybe Marty needs to proper up it. I don't know. Like, sometimes when you get thrashed like that, it does some good.
I think I get that, but as much as we weren't very good, I thought Hull were excellent. Like, they really turned on against us. Like, if we'd got thrashed by a team who hadn't got out of second gear, would have been more optimistic that we could have turned it around. But we got absolutely outplayed, and I can see us, that just the confidence just draining. These last three games, you can see the confidence is gone. Like, we said it so many times recently, we are starting a game with 10 men when we've got our striking options at the minute because they're so ineffective. Like, I just worry that their heads are dropping and we're automatically going to be 5-10 yards deeper than we need to be. We're going to be 5 yards off the pace. And like, it's going to be really cagey, really nervous first 15 minutes against Preston. And if they get an early goal, I think we could be well and truly like fucked.
It'll go like it has been, which is we'll concede in the second half and we'll either lose 2-0 or win 2-1. That's what I think will happen. I think, I don't know. Anyway, quickly, player of the season. I know that I saw this, the the polls out or what the votes are out, what, who we're voting for. I'm going to go for Clark Salter.
I went.
And, I've seen a lot of Cooks.
Yeah, I went
Steve Cook.
Cook as well, and Jimmy Dunn goal this season. And I think Armstrong, young player.
Doug, who'd you go for, mate?
Yeah, I went Clark Salter as well. Just above Steve Cook. It was close between them two. And like Jack said, you can't go anything else than Jimmy Dunn, can you, for goal of the season? That picks itself.
Who would be your third choice?
What, player of the season?
Yeah, if you had a third choice, who would be like top? Well, obviously, the top two would be the two centre backs, but who would be for? I was thinking about this earlier when I was thinking, blimey, I don't know.
Field for consistency.
He had a really poor first 5-6 months of the season. It's got forgotten a little bit. It's like if it was the other way around.
5-6 months is like the majority of the season.
Okay, yeah, it's probably been a bit harsh, like 3 or 4. Because Kenneth Powers, he had a really good first 3 or 4 months, and it's sort of gone the other way a little bit. Like he was definitely a contender. We did a poll halfway through the season, and he was in it.
Yeah, well, he was top goal scorer for a while as well, wasn't he? Like, that's how vital he was to us, and his performances were.
Yeah, fair enough. I'd bring Reggie Cannon back in Saturday before we finish. I just think he's got a bit to prove. But no, I've got something to prove, something to come in and want to, you know, I don't know if that means giving Dunn a rest or bringing him on if we need him for the last 15, 20 minutes, hitting some balls to him, I don't know, but that's what I would do.
Anderson, Chair, Willock, fluid front three. Then pat the midfield out with Hayden, Cole back and field. Let's see if that works. Then you've got people on like Dyke Sinks off the bench as an option if we need to. But it just means that our bench options are very limited. If all of those are on, that's the other problem.
Yeah. Anything else, lads? Anything else on your mind? Anything you want to chat about? Anything going on? Any observation? No?
Not for me.
All good. Begovic, quickly to... I can't wait
for the season to finish so he goes.
Yeah, I agree. Again, a few weeks ago, it was 7 goals it'd cost us, according to like the XG stats. So we can understand which one that might have been from. But yeah, over 8 goals conceded that he shouldn't have conceded, according to the sort of XG ratios and all that. But I think just on the eye test, we said before, he just looks like he's lost a step. You know, when a player just looks well off the pace, he hasn't got that sort of athleticism anymore, just doesn't strike me. And we've had some really good keepers over the years. We've had some some really good standard goalies. Not like Lumley, Ingram era, but like, you know, Smithies and people like that. Like keepers, yeah, in the Championship sort of era. And he won't live long in their memory. I know he's in double figures for clean sheets, but I think he's largely been helped by the sort of the structure in the team in front of him and how Marty's got us playing, and the centre back pairings, one, you know, on paper, you know, one of the best in the league on its day. But yeah, shake hands and goodbye for me next season. Get a younger keeper that can play with his feet and is an investment as well. Someone that's got a bit of experience, not like a kid, but you know, someone that's kind of been around a bit, you know, it's got potential to step up if it's from League One, something like that.
You know what also winds me up, not, annoys me and winds me up, is that he's captain, and I've not seen anything of any captaincy of any kind.
He doesn't talk.
I get
Steve Cook needs to be captain.
Yeah, but like, was it like a deal, do you reckon, that Ainsworth did or we did to give it to him or something? Or was it, maybe he does stuff in the dressing room. I just can't even imagine that though.
I think it was purely based on, you know, the career he's had. He's the most senior head in the squad, and on paper, that should make sense. But like I say, he doesn't talk on the pitch. He doesn't command his box. So it's been a real dodgy decision. I mean, you said about, you know, bringing Cannon back in for Dunn. Do you go the extra mile, drop Begovic? Raise the level a little bit, give someone a chance to shine for the last 3 games.
I mean, I'd like to see Joe Walsh in goal. If we are safe at some point, like the end of the last game of the season or something, but I can't see it.
My worry with Begovic, aside all this stuff we just said, is for as good as Hull were, you put the ball in any of those corners and he's not saving it. And Leeds will be good at putting the ball in the corner.
I'm just imagining Somerville up against Dunn. That's giving me nightmares already.
Yeah. Let's worry about that next week, mate. Quickly then, lads, quick prediction for Saturday. Connor, what do you reckon, mate?
Got to stay consistent with my own preview, so I'm going 1-0 Preston and hoping that my reverse psychology works. But I do think we're not going to decide it on Saturday. I think we're going to need something out of those last two.
I think it's, you've called it earlier, I think we'll go 1-0 down, like 60 plus minute second half after a boring first half, and then we'll just scramble a last 10 minute equaliser from a set piece. Probably Jimmy Dunn, Steve Cook combo again, because they're our most potent forward line at the moment. So, yeah, I think 1-1. And we'll not confirm our status of championship survivor, you know, any time soon. It will keep rolling into the next match day. But, yeah, I think 1-1 seems quite a decent bet.
Well, we haven't turned anybody over this season, have we? I don't think it's going to happen against Preston. I reckon it's going to be 0-0. I think we're going to absolutely stink it up on Sky's like late afternoon, early evening kickoff. It's going to be a 0-0 bore fest. Neither team going for it. It's just going to be absolutely dire. That's my opinion.
What happened to that QPR, the West Brom QPR that we saw for like one game that were just amazing? Whatever happened to them? Like
they were knackered.
Still didn't win. Yeah, I went to the Borough game after that, thinking, "Here we go," and we were absolutely diabolical. We're like, "Oh." Anyway, yeah. All right. Nice one, lads. Cheers, Connor. Quickly, where can everyone find you?
Yeah, just search Hoopsa on YouTube and HoopsaYT on Twitter.
Top man, mate. Thanks for coming on. We'll have you on again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Let's hope for a good result Saturday. Results, I say, because I'm more worried about everyone else than I am us. But cool. Right, have a great weekend, everyone. Cheers.
You ours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.